Chuck and Julie, bringing you the truth, straight up.
I'm Julie Hayden. I'm working.
An Emmy-winning former investigative reporter, a highly successful trial attorney, and publisher of a major Denver area newspaper. They've been partners as talk show hosts and in marriage, as parents for over 10 years, providing thought-provoking information, opinion, and entertainment live, local, and interactive. Everyone's voice is always welcome on the Chuck and Julie Show.
Welcome, everyone. Chuck Bonnywell, Julie Hayden, the Chuck and Julie Grassroots Show, Truth Straight Up.
That's right. Brought to you by HappyTrees.co and Mountain West Wellness, Advanced Acupuncture and Chinese Medicine. And once again, for those of you who weren't with us on Friday, we're broadcasting live from the World Headquarters living room because the actual World Headquarters basement was flooded. So we had to rip out all the carpet. And so we're having kinds of fun with that. But I think we'll be back in our regular broadcast area. But anyway, that's what's going on. This is our living room. So
our living room. That's great, great grandpa.
There we go. So a ton of stuff to talk about today. So we don't have any guests today, so it's just us. So feel free to chime in. We'll read your comments on chat. If you want to unmute yourself and comment, you can do that too. Or if you're listening and want to call in, 888-627-6008, 888-627-6008. You know, the more I think about the Durham report, which in one level was really not a surprise. We have been talking about that. I think the Chuck and Julie Show, and thanks to the great Michael Tao, was one of the original areas or broadcast outlets that was talking about the fact that there was no hack of the DNC.
It was a fraud from the beginning.
Designed to cover up by Hillary Clinton problems that she was having, right? Turned out to be absolutely right. But the big question that we always asked was, who knew what and when did they know it? Was it just some rogue FBI agents? And then the Obama White House and the Justice Department said, oh, well, we're happy anyway. And they decided to go along with it. Was it just all the Clinton people?
It was everybody all the time, everywhere.
I mean,
Obama was in it for it from the beginning. And so were the Justice Department, all the crooks in the U.S. government.
Well, I mean, and like literally, right? So Hillary Clinton's people say, look, we're getting, which is exactly what Michael Tao said. He's like, yes. Hillary Clinton was getting hammered about her emails. The WikiLeaks emails were going to come up. It wasn't just the fact that she was keeping her secure, highly classified emails on, it was a server like down in Lodo, right? Which was covered with the Rhino area, which is kind of, I remember standing in front of it going, what on earth would you use this as your server? But at any rate, it wasn't just that. She was getting hammered. There were new things going to come out on WikiLeaks where she, you know, was going to be coming across as two-faced and things like that. So her people came up with the scheme to go ahead and plant this Trump-Russia story to try to vilify him. They got the Justice Department. Well, I mean, that was a plan, right? And I don't think the plan was very far along when Brent, because they needed the Obama administrations and they needed the White House and they needed the FBI. They needed everybody's cooperation, CIA. Yeah. So early on, Brennan, according to Durham, goes to the White House and briefs Obama, Biden, Loretta Lynch, and Comey. So the AG and the FBI director. So you've got what, the CIA? I mean, all the part of the gangs all there, right? And he said, here's what Hillary wants to do. And they're like, all right, good idea. Let's go for it. So
Nellie Orr, whose husband is the number three or four at the Justice Department doing the research, undoubtedly going on the NSA database and everything else, and then she would hand it off to Michael Steele, and then Michael Steele buffs it up a little bit, gets Danchenko and Dolan, and then hands it back up to her husband, who hands it to the FBI, and voila.
I mean, what's astonishing, though, we've been talking about it for a while, so it should be shocking that that's what happened, but especially shocking though, and I'm still trying to get I do have my head around it, but that President Obama, because you don't hear anybody in the media criticizing him, really,
no,
right?
No.
President Obama, Joe Biden, who's in the White House right now, they all knew this, right? But it wasn't just that they knew it, they actively participated in it. And I got a bunch of sound because I want to remind you back, Obama expelled diplomats, right? Remember all those Russians who got indicted for interfering in the election. How did that happen? It was all fake, right? But I want to play some sound. Devin Nunes was on Maria Bartiromo over the weekend, and he said, I knew this way back when, and everyone called me a nut.
He did a report.
Right. And recommended criminal charges, yes, right? Yes. Which, of course, that went nowhere. But Thomas, if we could please play Nunes number one.
Don't forget that you had Obama. You asked me, what did Obama know about this? Well, this was a stunt by the Hillary Clinton campaign in 16. It failed miserably because Donald Trump won overwhelmingly. Right. Then what happened? Obama was directly involved because he's the one that went back right after the election in 2016. He got all the intelligence agencies involved, and they leaked out to the fake news media that, oh, the Russians must have done something and they were trying to help Trump. Obama did that, but Obama knew. We now know from Durham, Obama knew and his team knew in August of 16 that this was a dirty trick by the Hillary Clinton campaign.
Unbelievable.
So
yeah.
I think the question is, you know, where do we go from here? That's the real question.
Yeah,
right?
Where do we go?
One thing we at least have is our voice, and that's what we can do to spread that word. But I think the Congress is going to have to dive deep into this.
Yes.
Yeah, and we'll talk about that in a second. But remember, so in August of 2016, Brennan, before any of this even started, right? Brennan goes to Obama, they brief him. And again, that makes total sense because the stunt won't work if you're going to have the FBI saying, well, Hillary, that's not true. Or you can't claim the DNC hacked your email server if the FBI is going to be like, oh, okay, can we have your email server? And remember, they didn't do that. They said, well, the CrowdStrike folks, they looked at it and they assured us. I mean,
no problem.
They had to have been on it from the beginning. Oh, so Leo was like, did Westminster charge you for all that extra water? Ha ha. Yes, exactly. From Jim, does Hillary hold some kind of Guinness record for the number of crimes she got away with? Well, yeah, and she's going to, because the FBI said, oh yeah, that Hillary Clinton investigation that we buried, by the way, which was also talked about in the Durham report, they destroyed the evidence because it was just old stuff. There was no crime there, right? So there won't be any investigating of that. But so anyway, in August of 2016, the Obama administration knows that the whole Russia thing is a hoax, a lie, a stunt, dirty tricks put together by Hillary Clinton. But what does Obama do after Trump wins? In December of 2016, he expels 35 Russian diplomats and sanctions Russia. So he, knowing that it's a lie, takes actions against the Russians, right? Which you got to wonder, you're the Russian diplomat. They're like, you know, Vladimir, why are you you're being expelled for interfering in the, you know, in the Clinton, in the 2016 election? And Vladimir's like, no, I overthrew Syrian government,
yeah,
you know, but I didn't have anything to do with 2016. But that, I mean, can you imagine that you're this diplomat? You're like, what the heck? And then in the meantime, we'll talk about the indictments in a second. But so Obama, to continue the cover up and to continue pushing it, because now that Trump's won, they got to do everything they can to destroy him. So they have to keep this whole story rolling. He expels all these diplomats. And if we could please, Thomas, play the diplomats expelled video.
I told Russia to stop it.
Today, President Obama made good on that promise to retaliate, targeting Russia's top intelligence agencies with sanctions, officials in Vladimir Putin's inner circle, but not the Russian president himself, all but singled out by President Obama.
Tell him to cut it out, and there were going to be some serious consequences.
Freezing the assets of Russian officials named, banning business contacts with Americans. Russia also accused of harassing U.S. diplomats abroad and espionage operations in America.
We've seen verbal and physical harassment. We've seen them try and revoke their credentials. We've seen them try and detain them.
35 Russian diplomats in the U.S. expelled, just 72 hours to leave. Closing two Russian government compounds, rec centers allegedly used for spying, shut down as of noon Friday.
Can you just see? So President Obama is saying, I told them to stop it. And they're like, we're not doing anything. And he's like, you stop it. And I'm like, no, seriously, we're not doing anything. And he's like, yeah, we know. But stop it anyway. I mean, think about that. What an extraordinary abuse of power to take those kind of diplomatic actions that could have consequences, right? And probably did have consequences. And to continue the lie that the something that you know is a lie. And then even worse, remember then in February of 2018, so then they launched the Mueller investigation, which they all knew was silly. Why would you launch an investigation into something that you know is a lie, right? Now, that didn't stop him from indicting Roger Stone, Michael Flynn. I mean, it makes your head explode. And you think about the fact that these guys were accused of various things and obstructing an investigation about into nothing. Something that they knew was a lie. Right now, I mean, it's just outrageous. But then remember that what they did is they indicted 12 Russian individuals and 14 Russian organizations for interfering in the election. All of that was fake and a lie, too. If we could please play the Rosenstein soundbite. This is Rod Rosenstein in February of 2018 announcing the indictments.
A grand jury in the District of Columbia returned an indictment presented by the special counsel's office. The indictment charges 12 Russian military officers by name for conspiring to interfere with the 2016 presidential election. The defendants worked for two units of the main intelligence directorate of the Russian general staff, known as the GRU.
And here again, can you imagine these Russian guys all of a sudden they're like, Vladimir, you've just been indicted for interfering in the 2016.
Well, so they indicted three big companies, Concord Catering, Concord Management. And so Concord actually showed up, filed pleadings and everything else. And so when it came for a hearing, special counsel said, no, we're dismissing all the charges because there's no meaningful punishment. And it exposed sources and methods, don't you know, that the whole thing is a fraud. That people right. could find out it's a total fraud. And it turns out Concord Catering is owned by Prigozhin, who is the head of the Wagner mercenary army that just took Bakhmut. So I figured, hey, let's go to that guy. Yeah.
Well, I mean, it's outrageous. You can see them, carrying on. I mean, the Mueller investigation, I can kind of understand them kind of doing that, right? They got to cover their tail. They got to lock all this information up. And the Mueller investigation made it possible for them whenever Devin Nunes wandered around asking questions to say, a secret, it's under investigation, right? And everything was under investigation by whatever Mueller wasn't investigating, Horowitz was investigating. But that was a clever excuse. But to go ahead and carry it out and indict people think about that. The federal government used its power to indict people, Roger Stone, Michael Flynn, all these people, and then all these fake Russians to indict them for crimes they knew
and put them in
couldn't
jail.
Have been committed because it was a lie from the beginning. It's astonishing when you think of the level of corruption, and it's astonishing to me.
Well, it's the level of corruption in the whole judicial system, which we'll come to a little bit later.
I guess we saw what they're doing to the whistleblowers. I mean, no one seemed to say, well, I guess some of the individual FBI agents did try to say, what are we doing here, right? This is wrong, right? And that's why they consolidated everything back in Washington, D.C. Now, you might wonder, because they did a little bit of research, so whatever happened to all those Russians that they indicted, right? Nothing. When you look it up, it says that they are still at large. After Durham, they haven't taken it back, right? They haven't unindicted people that said, Hillary made that up. We actually know you didn't do that. They're not doing that, but they say they're still at large in a jurisdiction outside of the United States.
There you go.
It's like, I mean, we had Michael Tao on, and I'll never, because even I was like, well, golly, you issued an indictment. There must be something there. Oh, keep in mind, it's sealed though. Okay. It's sealed forever.
Very special.
Yep. It's sealed. No one can ever see what's in the indictment. It's sealed. But, and Michael Tao was like, no, there is nothing. It's all fake. And we're like, no, there must be something. Because they were talking, remember, so convincingly, they kind of explained about these companies and they had their names and all this kind of stuff. And it turns out, no, they were lying about that. I guess the depths of the lies, the fact that it went, as we kind of suspect, but now know for certain, all the way up to Obama. And who knows, even Hillary Clinton, I'm sure before Brennan briefs them, there's probably feelers put out, wouldn't you imagine?
They told Obama ahead of time. He didn't go, no, Hillary's doing that. No, he knew it the day Hillary thought it up. She called him up and said, hey, what do you think? Hey, have a good idea.
That's right. Oh, this is nice from Charlene. Chuck looks good in white for some reason. Thank you, Charlene. Well, yeah, and now we'll go to then kind of rolling through these quickly, but there's so much to talk about. The justice system did fail. And you had people like Devin Nunes talking about it before. You had people like us. And gradually, you had people. The Wall Street Journal apparently finally is saying, you know, I think that Mueller thing was that whole thing was a fake, right? That whole Mueller thing was designed to cover things up. It's like, you're kidding.
No, no.
They do that, right? I mean, so, but, and that's by that Devin Nunes, number two. This is again in Maria Bartiromo.
I think overall, this is a really sad day for America because what it represents is the total collapse of the justice system. A lot of people see this as, oh, FBI, intelligence agencies. No, no, no. This represents the entire collapse of the justice system. And it really, the Durham report reads like the tombstone for the justice system. And it would say something simple like, here lies the justice system, the Justice Department, and we knew there was criminality and we couldn't do anything about it. That's really what the Durham report says. There's a lot of great information in there, but nothing's been done.
Well, and you got to wonder, I mean, I don't think anything will be done, right? Nunez recommended charges, criminal charges, sure. Right?
Who's going to bring the corrupt Justice Department? Right.
I mean, and I think, again, you know, the corporate media is denying it. And MSNBC, they're like, oh, it's just conspiracy theory. The Washington Post is still keeping its Pulitzers. I mean, think about that. They reported on a story. They won an award for a story that they also knew they were part of the conspiracy was a lie. They watched people go to jail. They watched people's lives be destroyed. They saw lying on the FISA court warrants. They saw lying. I mean, they had to have lied to the grand jury that issued the indictment against the fake Russians, right? Because the Russians don't exist, right? So, I mean, they had
They exist.
Well, the Kootenays, I don't think, did.
They didn't know they existed.
Well, but I mean, they had to have, they made that up. They did all of that. I mean, that's got to be a crime somewhere, right? And it's got to, for Obama to say, okay, let's go ahead and use the resources of this administration and our justice system to, number one, try to prevent Donald Trump from being elected by spreading lies about him and boosting Hillary Clinton. And then when that doesn't work, let's continue to use our resources of the government to try to destroy Donald Trump and to try to charge him with crimes. I mean, it's just, it's the greatest crime. Well, no, COVID, I think, is the greatest crime. But a second greatest crime, I think, in the history of this country. Mm-hmm. I mean,
yeah.
And yet they don't. And nothing, I think, will ever happen. Do you think anything will ever happen?
Of course not. More Republicans will go to jail.
Yeah, they'll send more Republicans. Yeah, Charlene said exactly, from Jim, it seems no one will suffer the consequences even from their reputation. No. I mean, you know, CNN still hires all those people, right? I mean, Peter Strzok's book is still out there. Charlene.
So last time I checked, Comey was teaching ethics at Washington University.
Well, I mean, they're Democrat ethics, right? So that makes sense. From Charlene, exactly. The institutions are failing. The foxes are guarding the hen houses. Since 2016, everything that was called the conspiracy has been proven true. Exactly. And then Charlene says, surely the DOJ will investigate itself. Can Republicans appoint a special counsel like the Democrats appointed Mueller? Well, you know, here's a problem with this. And that's, I think, where you get the deep state. And you look at the people in Washington, D.C., who still don't like Donald Trump. So they're happy to have this to throw around. They were happy to have this go down. That's why I don't think anyone will ever do anything, right?
Well, you have to understand the Democrats did not appoint Mueller. The Republicans appointed Mueller. That was Rod Rosenstein appointed Mueller. So it's the Republicans.
That's right.
A Democratic hack and Andrew Weissman and a whole group of Strzok and Page. That was all by the Republicans. And I'm going to go back and read the Senate Foreign Relations Committee. I think that's the one in which they confirmed that Trump rigged the 2016 election.
Right. Yeah, it was okay to rig stuff then. And it was okay to talk about things being rigged back then.
And the Durham report just shows that all the Republicans on that committee, which includes Marco Rubio and lots of others, they're just total tools.
And then Charlene, oh, that's right. We don't need the Democrats to bring us down. No. And, you know, here's the thing. You're going to play one more soundbite because this is the scariest thing is they got away with it, right? They used Well, I mean, they're continuing to use it, right? The National Archives admits that every president forever since George Washington has taken stuff from the National Archives and stored it improperly or whatever, technically, and that Trump's the only one who's ever been charged with it. Biden, nothing's happening there. You know, January 6th, oh, we'll get to Tucker Carlson, some interesting news on that and why they need to keep the January 6th conspiracy theory floating around. But the thing is, and I think this is so true, they're going to do it again. They're going to do it.
Well, why wouldn't they?
Exactly. Why wouldn't they? And this is Katie McFarland, the former national security advisor, talking about this over the weekend. She's like, absolutely, they're going to do it again. If we could please play the Katie McFarland soundbite.
Take it to the bank. They will absolutely interfere in 2024. We're not sure how, but they will absolutely interfere, not only because they're not going to like whoever the Republican candidate is, but because they're going to protect their own hides. That's why they were talking to their own people, and the whistleblowers have brought this up, that they were told, don't put anything on paper, just tell us orally. They knew that they were doing stuff wrong. They knew that they were going to be liable for prosecution.
And that's why another one of the reasons, that's why I think they're attacking the whistleblowers the way they are now too, right? Because think of it, if a Republican, if Trump wins, you know Trump is going to do some of this stuff, right? He's going to open it up. I still say, and I mean this sincerely, we need to completely get rid of the FBI as it exists today. Make it just like a forensic evidence gathering, evidence analysis kind of thing. Take away any kind of subpoena power.
Well, what are you going to do about these criminal judges? Like the Proud Boys trial, and I had a trial that, but the judge was so biased, the party decided to settle. I mean, they just take all your defenses away. They take all your evidence away. They're corrupt. They're dishonest. The federal judiciary is rife with Obama appointees who are just disgraceful. The whole system stinks. The whole system.
Well, and Charlene says defund the FBI. Well, yeah. And the trouble is they're not going to. I mean,
oh, they will. They'll cut back.
Well, they'll cut back. I mean, that's what Jim Jordan says. He says everything's on the table. We're looking at that. And it looks as if McCarthy says, you know, that whistleblower guy who says, well, I wrote this report, gave it to the FBI. So they've said, hey, can we see that report? Right. Comer did. And they're like, no. So apparently he talked to Ray and Ray said, okay, I guess we'll maybe give it to you. But it's going to be one of those redacted things, right? Where everything's going to be redacted out. But all of this ties into, though, because I want to talk about some good, want to switch over to Tucker Carlson?
Sure.
Okay, some good news today. And again, if you guys want to comment, feel free to unmute yourself or 888-627-6008. So for the first time, I mean, Tucker came on, remember, right after he got laid off or was let go back in, I think, April 21st, and indicated he was going to be back, right? That he wasn't going to be silenced. And then he posted something else kind of obscure saying he's going to see us soon. Well, today, for the first time, he retweeted a post that was made by a guy doing apparently his autobiography, Chadwick Moore, who's been a guest on the show.
Autobiography.
Not, it's a biography. Biography. And you know, as an aside, that guy's probably got mixed feelings about Tucker getting fired, right? Because he's been working on the book for a while. Just Tucker the book. Like when Tucker Carlson was just there, you know, it's. I'm just saying, it's probably better for book sales. Now they're having to rewrite everything. But he put something out today where, for the first time, I think we're here. And Tucker retweeted it.
Yeah, the key is Tucker retweeted it.
Yes. So we know that this is true. And it is every bit as bad and worse, I mean, as we even thought. So let's take a listen to this. If we could please play Thomas the Chadwick Moore soundbite.
And during that time, I've gotten to know Tucker, his family, his friends, and his staff very well. In fact, I've gotten to know Tucker the person, not the caricature that his enemies try to portray. I was working closely with Tucker when he was taken off the air by Fox. And as some of you know, I was also a regular on his show, and I happened to be a guest on the final episode of the show, which was on April 21st. I've also seen the monologue that Tucker planned to deliver on Monday, April 24th, before his show was abruptly taken off the air. That monologue dealt with, among other things, investigations around January 6th, and particularly Ray Epps, the only person captured on video inciting people to violence at the Capitol that day, and allegedly an FBI informant, who still has not been arrested or charged. Ironically, a good part of the monologue also dealt with the people and forces that are trying to silence him, like AOC and others in government. It has now been reported that his firing was a condition demanded by Dominion as part of the settlement with Fox. Although Dominion has denied this, my sources have intimate knowledge of the situation, and they have assured me, even before this news leaked, that that is, in fact, the truth. If that is true, it would mean that a small group of people who have a controlling interest in Dominion have managed to silence what is arguably the most important and influential conservative voice in the country, possibly until after the next presidential election. Knowing Tucker as I do, I'm confident that he will not be silenced, as I'm sure all of you are as well. If you're interested in knowing more, if you want to know about who Tucker is, about his history, his passions, and what motivates him. Again, the title of the book is Tucker, and it's available for pre-order now.
It's available everywhere. But so let's kind of deconstruct, go through that a little bit. So he's saying, number one, because remember, right before that, the week, so there's Friday night, he does a show, he's having pizza, he says, see you Monday. Clearly, he doesn't know this is coming, right?
Right.
Then 60 Minutes does its whole thing, basically saying what a great guy Ray Epps is.
Yeah, just one of the great paramilitary, paramilitary guys that this country ever had.
And you knew that Tucker Carlson, I mean, we all suspected that Tucker Carlson would address that kind of thing, right? Mm-hmm. So it is interesting that that was indeed his planned monologue, because there were other people at the very beginning saying, we know what Tucker was going to be talking about that, right? They were working on it. They were preparing it. And then he gets a phone call, never be seen again. So that's pretty interesting. Also, he was going to be talking about the people who were trying to silence him, right?
Right.
And then also the Dominion. And now, this is a little confusing to, well, I think I know, but you were talking earlier, you were saying it is confusing as to why Dominion would want to get him fired.
Well, now you hear that, then you know why, because Dominion's owned by BlackRock.
Right.
And BlackRock would have interest in shutting down Tucker Carlson. It's not because Dominion had any real beef with him, but BlackRock, who also is a major shareholder in Fox, wanted to get rid of him. So from that angle, it makes sense. Because he wasn't particularly, he had no shows on. He wouldn't put shows on about Dominion and anything else. So
yeah. Tucker was not, well, here's what was good about Tucker. And this is why they wanted him gone, right? Because he wasn't, number one, afraid to change his mind. If new evidence came out, because I mean, initially we saw from some of those emails, he was upset about the January 6th thing, right? He was not upset, is probably too strong, but saying, hey, that wasn't good. But then he gets the videotapes, which, by the way, McCarthy still has not released. I don't know what's going on with that, but he gets the videotapes, which clearly show a whole other side of the story. I also think they silenced him then when he was talking about the people who were silencing him. Mm-hmm. I think that he was going to talk about that as well. That he was, because I think it was clear when he did the first night of the January 6th videotapes, there was a second night coming that was going to be just as interesting. That's how they break these things down, right? And instead, it was just a little blip, right? So I think that, so clearly they did not want him talking about that, but they knew that he was willing to look at the evidence and change his mind. And I think they were probably afraid. I could see Dominion being afraid that he might want to start looking at the election integrity
issue.
I think
it's all behind BlackRock. It's BlackRock. Controlling Dominion, which they bought for, I don't know, $770 million or something, or $7 million, and get a judgment for $800 million. Good investment with BlackRock.
But
that's why they would have lots of reason to want to get a conservative voice off the air.
Well, yeah, exactly. Particularly one that was effective, and particularly one that then sends a message to all the other conservative voices. You better shut up.
Right.
You better shut up, or who knows what's going to happen. So I think that that's, I could see where, you know, if you're Dominion, you just got, what, $800 something million. And then your main investor says, hey, can you ask that Tucker Carlson? You're like, sure. But you guys like ice cream too? Maybe have him deliver lattes and maybe bark like a dog and videotape it. I mean, you could see him throwing all kinds of things in. And that says something too, because Fox probably wanted to get rid of Tucker Carlson too, right? I can't imagine, can you, that the Fox people were saying, no, if you do that, we won't settle. We'll go to trial. Right.
They want to get rid of him also. It was interesting, kind of a footnote to it. PBS did a 2-hour special on Clarence Thomas, and they called John Danforth, who was a former senator from Missouri. And Thomas had worked for Danforth when he was in the Senate. Said, we'd like to do, you know, we want to get a nuanced view of Clarence Thomas. So he gave a 2-hour interview to him, none of which appeared on air, because they were nice stories. And he said, I couldn't believe, you know, he said, dumb on me, but PBS is just a pure political hit job. And anything I said which was favorable to Thomas, was ever going to be aired. And he just really let PBS have it.
Right. Well, and there's a shocker, right? There's a shock. So, but still, so again, so I think we have the mystery is indeed solved, that they got rid of Tucker because he was asking questions about January 6th. Because remember, January 6th is a narrative they need to keep on giving. Yeah. They need that to stop Trump. I still say they're going to arrest Trump. They're going to indict Trump. Sure. They need people. Now, the fact that nobody cares about it isn't going to stop them, no. Right? It's lawfare. And that's just, you know, paper cuts kind of thing. Plus, they have nothing else, right? The economy sucks. Ukraine sucks. We'll get to that in a second. Everything
sucks. DeSantis sucks. How can you be failing us?
Right. And so they're worried. And so they need that. So anything like those tapes, and I'm sure that's why McCarthy, I'm guessing that somebody's bribing him too, or blackmailing him, saying, because why hasn't he released them? Right. They were released to Tucker Carlson, or maybe there were no other journalists who are asking to see him. I mean, that wouldn't surprise me too. Right. You bet Laura Ingraham isn't going up there. Hey, I'll take those tapes. Tucker's going now. Right. Greg Gutfeld at least tries. Sean Hannity, he's like, I'll just say whatever you guys tell me to say.
Tell me to sit today.
Yeah.
He's taking over his 6 p.m. slot. So that'll be great.
Right. Well, maybe now they're saying that's not true because everyone's like, no, no. But I think that's the thing. They cannot have that happen because if you're BlackRock, I mean, Trump threatens that whole World Economic Forum, that whole global economy, their whole scheme.
And Tucker has a huge audience for conservatives. I mean, over 3 million people a night some nights. So.
Right. And here, McCarthy from Charlene approved the sham 1-6 commission, not smart enough to know how that would turn out. And then from Leo, Tucker must have ordered a meat lover's pizza that Friday night, and all the vegetarians at Fox, BlackRock, and the DOJ got pissed. And then Monday, poof, that's right. From Charlene, Tucker can't talk about the very thing that should be talking about, stolen elections. They need the gold standard election myth to stay alive. Exactly. Right. And then from Jim, BlackRock is deeply involved financially in the Ukraine fiasco, too. Tucker was starting to expose that as well. That's right. I mean, he was just asking questions. And that was the thing. You can't have people ask questions. And it sends a message, right? Anyone else want to ask a question here? Yeah. Laura, you want to ask a question? Sean? Anybody, Jesse, want to ask any questions about Ray Epps? No, right?
We'll go to 710 Can You Ask. Is there anybody on there willing to ask any questions? Other than Randy, and Randy's there because they don't want to get rid of him while they have a lawsuit outstanding. But the minute they settle that lawsuit, I'm sure they'll shut him up.
That made me sad. So hopefully not. Here's on that though, a little bit of good news. We're going to kind of jumping around a little bit. In Arizona today, the legislature overrode Katie Hobbs's veto, and now sent a letter to all the county election officials saying that the county election offices cannot use electronic voting systems in 2024.
Yeah.
So that's pretty interesting. Yeah. And you know, here's the thing, it's worth following, and it gets a lot in the woods and stuff like that, or in the weeds, well, woods too, about the stuff going on in Arizona. But Carrie Lake is doing a good job with her attorneys, and the judge is letting this go on, right? Yeah. Sooner or later, you know, someone's going to get to the judge. He's going to say, all right, I just dismiss everything. In terms of talking about the people were approving signatures and things like that remotely at home.
Right.
I mean, it's like, what? Without any supervision. And then I thought, wait a minute. I thought that wasn't connected to the internet. I mean, the whole thing there is crazy. But that's something, again, that Republican legislature, it'll never happen in Colorado, but Republican legislatures need to do. And that is to say no electronic voting systems. And you start taking their power away. I was reading something today, and I disagree with it. It was talking about ballot harvesting and says, oh, no, we don't need to do that. What we need to do is make ballot harvesting illegal.
Oh, I agree with that.
Yeah.
But in between time, right. In the meantime, you got to dull its effect.
Right.
I agree you have to get rid of ballot harvesting, but you also have to go out and try to do the best you can so they can't overly cheat.
Right. Well, that's the only way you're going to get Republicans elected, right? First, you need to get Republicans elected with ballot harvesting. Then once you get them elected, have them get rid of these electronic voting systems. But it is all tying in that, like you said, and I think the more I thought about it, I thought, yeah, like, yeah, Chuck, because Chuck's like, why would Dominion want to get rid of it? Why would they care, right? They've got $800 million.
But
then you think about BlackRock and they do want to get, and I'm sure Dominion was like, yeah, we're happy to throw that in too. So, and then on to Ukraine. You want to talk about Ukraine a little bit?
Well, just one other note. There's an interesting article, I think it was in Politico, but it was in Real Clear Politics, saying that red states are trying to destroy local democracy. But instead of giving them more funds to more efficiently run their elections, they're saying that, you know, like Harris County, which is a total fraud operation, will be operated by someone else. And they're going, oh, you're ruining our democracy. But I think it was Texas, Mississippi, Maybe North Carolina.
And it's like, Jenna Griswold has been tweeting lately, retweet if you agree that every citizen should be able to vote. I'm like, what? Mm-hmm. Like in Colorado, you know, you could be a citizen of another state and you could vote, no problem, right? I mean, it's like, and I think that's all their sneaky ploy. Every citizen register, they want to get rid of registration. Why worry about registering people, right? Just let people pull, you know, just dial in their cell phone, kind of like a poll kind of thing where you could do that. And then pretty soon, you know, it's going to go to, you don't even have to be a citizen. If you just, you know, have
every
an interest.
Human. It's a human right.
That's right. It's a human right. If you live in France, feel free to vote here because it's a human right.
Country, then
right.
That'd be great. So that was a really interesting deal, but
right. Well, then on Ukraine. So, because as you said, well, so Bakhmut fell, and we're going to play a Conor McGregor thing because there's as always, it's hard because then apparently Zelensky at G7, and there's a time difference, but was saying no, it hasn't fallen. But then it did fall, and he didn't. He said that before. I think he got on the plane, right? And so the question is this a big deal? Is it not a big deal? What does it mean? And as you said, it's hard to tell because, I mean, the American media, Western media, is every bit as awful as the Russian media.
They're worse.
And meanwhile, Zelensky.
We're clearly biased. You can go to South Front, which has got to be funded by the Russians, but they sound more fair. I'm not sure they are, but the Western media no longer feels the need to hide their bias. Well, South Front tries to hide their bias. It's just amazing. You hear them saying, oh, you know, the Ukrainians are winning. It's the counteroffensive is coming. And you just need to send us some more of those F-35 or F-16.
Well, now we're sending F-16s, which, as Conor McGregor pointed out, seems kind of weird because F-16s need apparently, number one, very specialized training to fly. They need specialized people on the ground to maintain them. They need specialized airfields, right? None of which Ukraine has. So he said, it's just a matter of time. We're going to have American pilots in there. They're going to be trying to speak Ukrainian. They'll have like a little Ukrainian flag on their helmet or something like that, but they'll be American pilots. And he's like, you can't, they're in war. What are you going to train? And, you know, Biden's like, we'll train them. And then we have like
who will attend? This is from Charlene. Who will attend Jenna Ellis's talk at the Western Conservative Summit?
Yeah, Jenna Ellis, I think, kind of... She should have stood her ground on things like that. I don't know. The Western Conservatives, I don't think, are we going? No, okay, we're not. But anyway, back to Ukraine. You're the one who wanted to talk about Ukraine. Back to Ukraine. Zelensky went to the G7 summit in Japan to tell them all that he needed way more money, lots of stuff. What I found was kind of interesting. So they're all in suits, right? World leaders. He's in his green military stuff.
Right.
He hasn't been, apparently, to Ukraine in a couple weeks. It's not like he's been all over the place, but he hasn't been. It wasn't like he came straight from the battlefield to the G7 summit, right? So it's kind of like talk about, I guess he's an actor. So, I mean, I'll give him that. And that's his thing now, but still it was kind of funny.
Kind of like a Che Guevara look.
Right, exactly. But without the hat. But anyway, so McGregor was on. Yeah, really, that's what he should. Maybe he likes this here.
Yeah.
He was on Judge Napolitano, and he was saying to him, well, what do you make of this Bakhmut thing? And to set it up a little bit, he was, what do you keep looking at? He keeps.
Moths are coming.
Oh, and that's true. We do this like a million moths. If we duck, suddenly that's what it is. It's the moths. He was explaining, and I didn't realize this, that Bakhmut, most of the people who lived in Bakhmut actually were Russian,
sure.
Not Ukrainians. And one of the reasons that this has taken Russia so long to take it is what the Ukrainians do. Now, this is quoting McGregor, is they essentially capture Russian citizens and stick them in buildings and basements so Russia can't bomb them. So Russia had to do this the hard way. But Judge Napolitano was asking him, what does this mean? Did we win? Did they lose? What's we mean anyway? Right. And do you support Ukraine, Chuck? Or no, you must answer that question.
Support victory in Ukraine.
Yeah. It's like, well, what does victory mean, right? But if we could please...
A lot of dead people.
Yeah. If we could please play the Ukraine soundbite.
97-98% of Bakhmut has been under Russian control now for months. This is the last portion. It's now clear. And I think it's not an exaggeration to suggest that in many ways, the Russian high command turned Bakhmut into the graveyard of the Ukrainian army. And years from now, when we look back on this war, I think Bakhmut will occupy a special place as having been a turning point.
Well, I was just going to ask you, why does Bakhmut matter? The city itself is gone. Is this going to be an enormous demoral? Will this have an enormous demoralizing effect on the surviving Ukrainian soldiers and the Ukrainian high command?
Well, the Ukrainians already had their problems with morale. I mean, you can't take the kind of beating that they have for months without your morale sinking. I pay tribute to them all the time for their courage, but you're also running out of soldiers. I think Bakhmut became to Zelensky in many ways what Stalingrad became to Hitler.
Mm.
Remember, Stalingrad really did not have any strategic value at the point in time when the Germans arrived there. The only thing of value there was an aviation manufacturing facility, big factory that built aircraft. That had been destroyed by the Luftwaffe. So there was really no reason to stay in Stalingrad when it became clear what the Soviets were going to do. But Hitler was obsessed with the place and felt that this was a grudge match of sorts with Stalin and with communism. And so he turned Stalingrad literally into a disaster. I think that's what Zelensky has done. And of course, Sorovikin back in the fall, in October, November, December timeframe, was the one who said, fine, let's establish this as a trap.
Yeah, they were going to trap all the Ukrainians there. So, I mean, you're the historian. What do you make of that comparison?
Well, I mean, it does look like Stalingrad. We haven't had urban warfare like that since Stalingrad. What the Ukrainians say is that we've, slaughtered all these Russians in Bakhmut. It's a pyrrhic victory for them. And we're killing all these Russians 5-1, 4-1, 3-1, whatever it is. And Colonel McGregor, Larry Johnson, Scott Ritter say just the opposite. I have no way of knowing which of the two is real. But I get the feeling that, do you believe anything Western media says about anything these days? So whether McGregor was on Fox Saturday or something, and former congressman was the host, and just shocked that he wasn't all pro Ukraine. And he said, "Well, I can't believe you believe that." Somebody forgot to tell him.
Well, then this from Charlene. You guys are listening to all the right commentators. Curious why YouTube hasn't shut McGregor down. Yeah, I don't know that YouTube probably doesn't. I sometimes wonder that myself, how YouTube makes its decisions. Maybe they don't care about Ukraine. But here's one thing too. I will say, and tell me what you think of this. All of this though too detracts from asking the immediate central question, and that is, who cares about Ukraine anyway, right? Why are we spending any more money there? Why were we spending any money there to begin with? Why is Zelensky traveling around the world? I mean, if his country's at war and hundreds of tens of who knows how many of his citizens are dying and he's jetting around the world and doing Vogue magazine cover shots. I mean, that should tell you something right there. Photo ops with Biden. The bigger question is, what are we even doing there in the first place? And the second question to that is, how do we now go about getting ourselves out? Don't you think? I mean, instead you end up debating, and not that it's bad, but is this true? Isn't this true? And that detracts from that core question of why are we there? Why are we staying there?
Well, to detract us from other things.
That's true. Yeah, the economy.
The border, anything you want to know, but it's also something to, the military industrial complex has never had a finer war. I mean, all the equipment that all these countries have is all going to the Ukraine. I mean,
that's right. Everybody's going to have to buy more.
Oh, yeah. If they're going to, they'll all be destroyed. And so they're not going to just return them at the end of the war. And the munitions companies, I mean, they were all in a panic after Afghan withdrawal.
Right.
Luckily for them, we quickly, they said, okay, how about Ukraine?
That's a hotbed. So, I mean, if you think of it, I mean, how much more convenient is a war in Ukraine? I mean, I never saw Vogue going to Afghanistan to shoot, cover shots. I mean, they couldn't do that. I mean, so if you're going to have a war, you might as well have a Ukraine pretty nice. I mean, it's close to fun places and seaports and things like that. So what the heck? So you can travel over there at will, which still seems crazy to me. This is a small country at war and everyone's traveling, you know.
Well, that's what McGregor points out. If they wanted to, they could do what the United States government did in Serbia and in the shock and awe campaign in Iraq, is obliterate the city.
Right.
That wouldn't be hard.
No.
But he, for whatever reason, he doesn't want that bad publicity, so it's not.
Well, they wanted to keep the war going, right? Yeah. I mean, if they won the war, then they'd have to find some other war to go to. And this one's a nice, convenient, if you're going to have a war, why not have this war?
Well, this isn't a bunch of AK-47s.
F-16s.
Yeah, this is high-end stuff.
Right. And then when ours gets blown up, we're going to need more of those, too. And you better be ordering them now, what the heck, because, the military, they have some kind of like $3 billion accounting error too. That's convenient,
well,
right?
Well, I think it was an accounting trick. They originally valued what they gave to them at production cost. Or maybe it was at replacement cost, and said, "Oh, well, you know, we can give them a lot more if we call it the other. You know, if you're calling it replacement cost, well, then we can give more. We have $3 billion more."
Oh, it's like house insurance then, kind of, right? It's like, are you going to replace my house, or you're just going to give me a certain amount of insurance? Like,
save your car.
All right, you know. And here's the thing. So the Navy. Let's talk about the debt ceiling after we quit giving all this money to Ukraine. Here's from Jim. We get our news from the propaganda arm of the third most corrupt country in the world and the Western fake media. If their reporters were true, Putin would be in a hotel in a hole somewhere. Pulling it in after him. Instead, his forces are killing 10 Ukrainians for each sources they lose. And then from Charlene, replenish spent warfare machines. Well, and yeah, Charlene, and by the heck, you better order them up now, right? Because you want them to be ready for whatever next war there is. They don't even talk about, well, what would it take? There's no discussion. It's like, it's going to take as long as it takes. Well, what does that mean, right? And that means it'll take until the American people or Donald Trump gets in there and stops them. I mean, I'm sure he's right. He could probably solve this in a day if he said to Zelensky, we're cutting off everything. Yeah. So do what you got to do. We'll help. We'll help you negotiate, but we're cutting off everything, okay?
Yeah, that would end it that day.
Right, exactly. And Zelensky would probably retire to with all the money that you suspect they're skimming off someplace. Fine. He'll go ahead.
Well,
and
check they found $3.5 million in euros in a suitcase going to the head of the Supreme Court in Ukraine.
Well, he was just going to hold it for somebody.
Yeah.
What is that for?
Well, just a little bummer.
Well, you can't have those judges. Remember, that's how the whole Biden family got in trouble. You can't have judges investigating corrupt people and corrupt things like that, right? You can't. You have to kind of keep that whole thing flowing there. I mean, earlier Charlene talked about the whole thing is a money laundering scheme. So I don't know. So Bakhmut fell. Then I don't know what to make of this. So apparently some pro-Ukrainian, although it didn't appear to be Ukraine, somebody is lobbing missiles into Russia now?
No, they invaded Russia. It was kind of an excursion.
Who's they?
Well, that's unclear.
It was American soldiers because people are getting tired and they need to make Russia more annoyed.
They claim that these are dissident Russians who don't like Putin, which is why they came across the border from Ukraine, of course. But it's clearly the Ukraine. They drove past a two-person border guard thing and bombed and hit a school. But the whole thing was to get away from Bakhmut. And go,
another Nord Stream pipeline will blow up then too, right? I mean, it's how incurious the American media is about. I mean, this whole pipeline thing blows up, right?
Yeah.
And they're like, Russia did it. It's like, okay, that's stupid. No one's even buying that. They're like, we don't know. We don't care. We're over that. It was in the ocean anyway. The pictures aren't very good. So, I mean, I don't know. It's just crazy. From Leo, laptop, what laptop, right? Any final thoughts on Ukraine?
The over and under on how long the war will last, I would have said at least another year before, 2 years. Now I have a feeling it may be 6 months. It may be.
What makes you say that?
Because Ukraine is being pushed by the Allies to do the counteroffensive. They really can't afford to do a counteroffensive. I mean, they don't have enough soldiers to do it. But, you know, if people make it, we're not going to pay any of your pensions and let you go over there and get Well, that's right.
We're paying
killed,
the pensions, yeah.
Then they might just do it, and that could backfire. Just kind of like the German offensive in 1918, which made some ground and everything else, but it really showed that was their last energy, and the war was over in 6 months. That might be true here. I guess I would bet on the under, that it's going to be over by late, early fall.
Well, and I mean, we are kind of coming into an election year too, right? And the war, it's not. I mean, you have the media pushing things. Do you not support a victory in Ukraine? But most people don't care. They're way more concerned about other issues. So I think if I'm the president, I could say to the defense companies, look, we're going to have to, we'll send all our stuff over there. One last big thing. And then we're going to get out and we'll buy a whole bunch more, you know, war weapons from you, huh? That would make everybody happy. And then they'll go start a war someplace else once they're all safely elected. So.
All right. Well, the vote's in 225 votes for Chuck and White and one against. So that's good.
This is from Charlene. Lies, damn lies, and fleeing Ukrainians. Lloyd Austin from Leo is at the Russian border throwing hand grenades to get more U.S. military sales. Exactly. Hey, that's going to wrap it up for us today. Thank you to everybody on Zoom. We love all of your comments. Catch all of our shows, chuckandjulie.com. On Wednesday, we're going to have Dr. Brian Jundep on. He had an interesting column, a take on, you know, the whole Good Samaritan concept and what's happening to that in the wake of all these Good Samaritans who step in, save people, save lives. And then if they're the wrong race and the person who is attacking everybody is the correct race, the correct race, then the Good Samaritan. Your Soros prosecutor will indict the good one, and they'll hold rallies for the dead bad guy.
The one thing I did like when he always says Elon Musk saying, you know, what an evil that Soros hates humanity. Philanthropist, he's just a butcher.
Soros.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Well, he's trying to create chaos in the world so that they can all take it over. Hey, that will do it for us on this Monday.
Beautiful Monday. Wacky Wednesday, as Leo says.
That's right. We'll see everybody then. Have a great day, guys.